B-side content represents the opinions of the host and his guests. We acknowledge that some subjects may be sensitive in nature and not suitable for everyone. B-side content is for informational purposes only and should not be taken as medical or mental health advice. And if you do need physical or mental health guidance, please consult a licensed healthcare professional. Hello, this is Brian with The B-Side, a podcast about dad grief, what it teaches us, and how it can make us better. Hello, this is Brian. Thanks for listening to The B-Side. Today, I want to talk a little bit about what I call grief comparison shopping. It's a subject that I think is it's out there, and I've seen some writing on it, too. I've seen some articles about it, and if you do go to like a grief group, so let's just say a lot of times in sort of some of the opening statements, people will talk about, they may mention, you know, hey, don't compare your story to others. And I think that it's a little bit, I think that is actually very valid guidance. And I think that's a smart thing to do. If you can do it, don't compare your story to other people. It's probably a good idea, but I think it's better or easier said than done, I should say. I was in a situation recently where I was in a group and we're grieving parents. We're talking and sharing stories. And one person had shared about saying, they said something to the effect of, it was a privilege to have been there when, this was actually my wife, to be honest with you, to have been there when her daughter died. And someone else in the group actually piped up and said, well, I didn't have that privilege. And I thought to myself, I kind of waited my turn, and I did feel the need to call that out, because that's a classic case of just grief comparison shopping. And I think that people, while I can understand that emotions get in the way with these conversations sometimes, but I think it's super important to create some sort of a self-check when you are doing these things. I mean, I have completely caught myself listening to other people's stories where and feeling, you know, having that feeling of, I mean, I can't deny the feeling, right? That, man, okay, well, gosh, at least I didn't have it that bad, right? And I have heard probably every imaginable child death situation out there. I feel as though I have. I mean, everything from, you know, children dying in horrible accidents, suicides, you know, my child died from cancer. I've heard plenty of those. I mean, you name it. I mean, it can happen. And unfortunately, we all have these stories. And there is something ingrained in us that wants to compare. And I mean, why is that there? It makes sense to me that it's there. My initial instinct is to say, I don't really want to judge that, because think of how fast the world is moving this day and age with technology. I mean, we've got, you know, everybody's showing their shit all the time on social media. Everybody's, you know, they're wanting to show or portray themselves to be a little better and bigger than they are. There's all kinds of nonsense like that out there. And, you know, I've heard some psychologists refer to it this way, is that there's this sort of like this breeding ground for low-level narcissism that's very natural in all of us. And I tend to think that's true. Again, just my opinion here. But, and I think what happens is that when we become very ingrained as people, and maybe we have a competitive nature, and we have all this like stuff slinging at and being that's being slung at us, and things are moving really fast, we're going to naturally feel even more competitive. And if you have a little bit of that in you, I think grief comparison shopping happens even that much more. I think that instinct, that urge to kind of go like, well, is my story as bad as this guy's, or is my story worse than this guy's? And then there's the total flip. If I want the complete fucking pity party, well, guess what? You know, my situation was so much worse. Come to my house, I have all the cookies, and you can listen to my shit, right? So what I think comparison shopping also naturally lends itself to, and I think there are positives and negatives in this, is that as grievers, we splinter off into groups, right? I'm part of the cancer cult, right? My child died of cancer. And then there's all these subsects within that. My child had leukemia. And trust me, there are even subsections within that. There are those who had myeloid leukemia. Those are those who had lymphoblastic leukemia. There are those blah, 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 right? And there are groups for parents whose children died of suicide. There are parents for parents who, lost a son, those who've lost a daughter. And we sort of splinter off into these sects, if you will. And I've met a few parents who've lost their child by suicide. And I do believe that is absolutely a unique group. And I feel very privileged that they would share their story with me. And I really don't mind sitting with those people. And gosh, do they teach me a lot just by sharing what they're going through and the circumstances and whatever they're really willing to share. But there are other groups where I could probably make that case too and say, okay, yeah, that really is a unique group. But and I do believe that there is strength if we can use this sort of comparison shopping to urge, if you will, to say, okay, I want to be part of this group because these people understand certain elements of my grief. It makes total sense to me. And again, I believe that's a positive. But I'm wired perhaps a little bit differently, where for some reason, my wife and I made the decision early on that we thought, man, we know there's a cancer clan out there. That's probably not the best way to say it, but it's like there's this cancer group, this one and that one, people who've lost their children this way. It immediately for us felt unappealing. That's not that there has to be, and it's not that we don't pick it against these people. We have nothing against them. It's not that we wouldn't maybe even slide into a group there and talk to some of those people at times. But we just, I guess, the DNA of our family, our makeup, always felt like we just didn't want this one way of, or this just one pathway to a child's death, to be this big identifier. And we have felt that we learn so much just from listening to other people's stories. And I think that one of the ways we learn so much, and this is a big one, that hearing other people's stories, it's like, I feel like when I hear certain aspects of their grief, little elements that I would have never thought of, those are those moments when literally I'm caught. It's almost like the person's story just slapped me and said, I caught you grief shopping. I caught you comparison shopping again, fucker. Stop and listen. You're not the only human being on the planet with pain. You're not, think of others, Brian. And I feel like that's what happens. Like when I've known people who've lost a child to suicide and they explained finding the body, right? They told me about those moments and I'm like, holy crap. Again, that's something I never would have thought about. And yeah, I think there was a little part of me like, oh, well, my journey wasn't that bad, right? Or, oh my gosh, I didn't have to go through that experience, which to me is a really, like, I'll beat myself up for that. To me, that's a really pathetic thought. But then I feel often, once I hear something like that, I'm so overwhelmed with compassion for that person. Like, I don't want to say a thing. And I mean, in those situations, what do you say? Honestly, the best thing to say, really, per my standard, is absolutely nothing and just listen and be there for them. But this whole element of comparison shopping, I think that, like I said, splintering off into groups is not a terrible thing. I think maybe you can help one another pinpoint certain things, but I'm a big fan of actually branching out, listening to other people's stories, because I believe that forces me to think outside of my story. And that's the real value in catching yourself. I believe, again, I just like everybody else, have this natural instinct to comparison shop just like everybody else does. But when I can catch myself and go, oh, caught you doing it, stop, usually those moments are very good because they absolutely thrust me out of my story. They forced me to think of other people's story. They helped me to be a better empathizer and a more understanding person and someone who values just shutting your fucking mouth and listening to someone. And not that I think I've always been pretty good at not having that urge to like jump in and fix something for someone. I'm pretty good at listening, generally speaking. But again, I think it's other people's stories that have helped me to just be a better Brian in general. Sorry to bounce around here a little bit, but I wanted to share a little story here. This was something that came up as I was contemplating this subject, and after I went through that experience that I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, where I saw some people get a little sideways with each other because they were, the experiences were different, and I think it just got a little messy. But anyways, I was going through some little like personal thinking around losing my daughter, and I thought to myself, if there was just another way that she could have died, right? I felt particularly traumatized about, and still do, honestly, about the way she died, and seeing a sort of long, slow, consistent decline in her until she died. And it's very hard for me to think about it a lot, but it's just a tough one, and it's there. And so I was going through this little thought catalog of, well, if she could have died another way. And I said to myself, I was like, man, what if she would have just, just been healthy and didn't want to listen to me and just stepped in front of a bus, like that would be better. I literally uttered those words, and I sat there and thought to myself, yeah, if she was maybe, if whatever, XYZ reason, if she could have died just this other way. And I was going through that. And lo and behold, flash forward maybe like 4 or 5 years, and I go to this grief group, and I meet a person whose child was literally hit by a bus. And the circumstances weren't quite what I, described there, but I, had to listen to that story. And so as I learned about this person's story, I thought to myself, man, that's like, holy crap, and that really just snapped me out of my my thinking there with this whole comparison shopping element, is that it's there, and guess what, no, it's not any better that someone's child died that way, right? And it's, if the child died when they were really young, you want those years, those later years. You wanted to see the prom. You wanted to see them getting their driver's license, right? And if the child died, in their 20s, right? You wanted to see something else, right? Or you wanted to bring something else back from their youth, right? And I think that the summary, that the conclusion I sort of came to with all of this as I was really kind of pondering this subject a bit more, is that the one thing that as grieving parents we all have is that we share the common bond of an incomplete experience, right? We're not supposed to bury our kids, and that's what we all have in common, right? Whether the child died at 40, whether the child died at 4 months, we're supposed to go first. And the way the child dies, wondering if my situation is better or worse than anybody else, wondering if there was a better way, wondering if there was one more thing, good thing that could have happened, it's kind of a waste of time. And again, I think we're naturally wired to do it, so it's going to happen. I think where I have control, though, is in letting myself know that I don't have to stay there for very long. Again, to me, it's not so much changing that natural tendency, it's spotting it. And then just like we would with a young child, I can remember that popular term when I was raising my kids when they were little, we redirect them. We don't scold them. We don't yell at them. We don't spank them. I guess, I don't know if that thinking is still around. My son's older now, but you redirect them, right? You redirect them from that triggering moment. You get them sort of refocusing on something else to be able to manage their emotions, right? And I guess as adults, we are absolutely no different. We need to do it too. And again, we share the common bond of an incomplete experience. I will always want to know what Galia would have been at 16 years old. She would have been 16 this year, actually. And, you know, I will always want to know who she would marry. I will always want to know what profession she would take up. I will always want to know what could have been. And part of my journey now is to, on some level, accept that that is the part of the new Brian going forward, or that that is a part of my life experience going forward. And it will never go away. And I think that wondering has actually turned into a pretty good thing at times. I mean, my wife and I do talk about things where, you know, what car would she have wanted? And, you know, it would have been a Volkswagen Bug with a sunflower on it. No, it would have been, you know, a muscle car. And it does, we are able to, I think, transfer some of that pain into, you know, something that creates some good laughs for us as well. And that's actually something I've seen in other people too, that when they're able to move into that, I guess that space of acceptance is probably what it is. If they are people who have a strong faith or a strong conviction about their faith, I've noticed some people like that, they've been able to even create, I think, really constructive narratives. Like they will speak as if, hey, you know, I know she's up in heaven with so-and-so and they're doing XYZ activity or whatever. And I think, you know, I see those people and in some ways, I think I'm almost kind of envious of them because I don't have that. I'm pretty rooted and grounded in the here and now and in the physical world. Not that I'm not open to spirituality and faith, but I just don't think mine's as strong. But I have seen people do that in a super constructive way and it really works for them. And I hear some things that, you know, it kind of makes me chuckle the way they talk about it with such conviction. And that, you know, they almost feel like I said, they can see that person in another life. And I think that is awesome. And if you can do that, like hats off to you. I bow to you. You're like, you're a star. I think that's really awesome. And I'm going to stop there with that one because I feel like I could launch into an entire other podcast about faith and spirituality, which I do would love to do in the future. But with all that, grief comparison shopping, again, I think it's a natural instinct for all of us. I think it's very hard to completely turn off. And just like anything else, it's spotting it and knowing what to do with it. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. This is Brian with the B-Side.